The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
We are in Judges chapter 3, picking up in verse 30. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 of the Philistines with an ox goad, and he also saved Israel. It's the reading of God's word. Please have a seat. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that your work is not stopped. As we consider that unfinished cause, we consider it with hope because it is your work. And Lord, we are delighted to be a part of it. We are delighted to see it going forward. We pray right now that you would stir us up, help us to trust you better, help us to obey you better. Lord, we look forward to your help in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when was the last time you met someone named Shamgar? Does anyone know someone named Shamgar? I was really hoping someone would raise their hand. That's interesting, right? You say, why not? I personally think Shamgar is a pretty solid name when you think about it, right? Some names in the Bible, they come from a different language, a different culture. They're just too hard for us to say, right? So Shamgar passes that test. We can all say Shamgar, right? You're not going to stutter over it like, I don't know, Athaliah or something like that. It's a good name. I picture it. Picture I come to you and I say, by the way, I have a friend named Shamgar. Who are you picturing right now? Are you picturing a wimp? You're not. Shamgar is a manly name. It's easy to pronounce. It's manly. It's biblical. Why don't any of us know anyone named Shamgar? Well, I've got a hypothesis for you. And the hypothesis is just that at some point along the way, we took Shamgar to be a minor name, a missable name, an overlookable name. I don't know, you ever read your Bible? And you're sitting there, and perhaps it's your morning devotions, and you're just tired. And somehow, you are able to separate your brain processes from your eyes so that you've read a whole paragraph, and you have no idea what just happened. We've all done that, right? Well, Shamgar occupies one verse, and it's not hard to imagine that on some early morning, you read right through him and barely even noticed he was there. See, there are these, what end up with the unfortunate name, there are these minor judges in the book of Judges. And minor is so misleading, just like with the minor prophets, right? We distinguish between major and minor prophets, but the distinction was only meant to say that one of them was longer than the other. After we just went through Micah, does anyone look at that and say, that's not a real prophet? No, it's just that he was had a book, a letter that was shorter. And it's the same way with these minor judges in the book of Judges. They're here for a reason. They just happen to be shorter. Their stories just happen to be shorter. You've probably never done this, but if you count up the judges in the book of Judges, what the minor judges help you do is they actually make it so you arrive at the number 12. Just one of those interesting little details. Did that happen by accident? Absolutely not. The thought being that by adding up to 12 judges, you have this sense in which all of the 12 tribes are indicted in the deterioration, the canonization of the book of Judges. You'll watch the judges across the book sort of proceed from the south to the north with the sense that they have covered the entire country, the entire nation, and everyone is included, and the minor judges help that point to come out. The minor judges, you're going to find that they all have a point. let's be honest, when we read the Bible, sometimes don't we read it like, that obviously is not important, I can skip that? Don't we read sections and just think, well, clearly I don't need to worry about that section? Well, they were included for a reason here. The book of Judges, the author of Judges, included them for a reason. And every single time, you will find that there is something additional or complementary that they are going to bring to the themes that we are seeing in the book of Judges in general. So let's talk a little bit about Shamgar. More than you ever realized was going on. The first thing you're going to see Shamgar do is Shamgar dispels illusions. So there's a reason I picked up in verse 30, because I didn't want to lose the context of where we just were. We had that oh so memorable story of Ehud last week. And Ehud's deliverance resulted in 80 years of rest, of peace for the land. Now you ask yourself, what were the results of those 80 years? What came of it? What fruit came of it? See, because it would be so easy to be an Israelite back then and you're suffering under Eglon and you're just thinking, I would have a different life with the Lord if things were different. If I could just get a breather. If I could just have some peace. If my circumstances were changed, I would be a different follower of the Lord. Well, what comes along here is 80 years of rest. And if anyone ever had a problem and you said, how about I give you 80 years to work on it? Doesn't that sound like a generous amount of time? Doesn't that sound like a sufficient amount of time? They had 80 years. And yet they still needed a new deliverance thereafter. Just that quiet little pause between judges, when you think about it, when you try and play it out and you say, wasn't 80 years enough for this corrupt, deteriorating nation to stop being so corrupt and deteriorating? Wasn't 80 years the time when they could get their act together and stop being such a wreck? But the book of Judges just keeps going. Never miss that point. I've preached it more than once. The point that the book of Judges keeps going. And so 80 years later, we've dispelled the illusion that time and circumstances were all they needed to get godly, to get right with the Lord. I mean, these are illusions that we need dispelled. Touched on in a little bit last week, but there's just always that sense from procrastinators, spiritual procrastinators. Maybe that's you, maybe it's me, maybe it's just everyone. But that idea that if I just had some more time, then I would be walking right with the Lord. Just give me a little more time, and then, just by the virtue of having had that time, I'll be good. I'll come to Christ. I'll walk well with the Lord, whatever it is, however you would describe it. We need the illusion dispelled that if my circumstances were different, I would be a better Christian. Because we do that too. You know, those convicting questions of, so why haven't you been praying lately? You have no idea how busy I am. I don't know. The older I get, I just feel like life is always busy. And if that's my reason all along, I'm going to die someday saying, when my life isn't so busy, I'll start praying. Shamgar dispels some illusions that we're still suffering under. Israel shows us that time and circumstances don't always help. And actually, if you remember, the Judges is a book not just of repetition but deterioration. Remember, downward spiral. If you keep that in mind and then you bring it to this point of 80 years, it turns out time not only doesn't always fix things, sometimes things get worse over time. And Israel is just getting worse. Sometimes we might only be getting worse. So we're saying, I wouldn't walk this way. I wouldn't dishonor the Lord this way. I wouldn't live this way if only my life were different, if only I had some time, if only my circumstances changed. But that's not true. And the truth is that if you wait, you might only get worse. Your life, actually, might only get worse. Your circumstances might only get worse. Which means that today is your best option for getting right with the Lord. Which means now is your best time for obeying the Lord. No more kicking the can. No more saying, I'll repent when. No more saying, I want to grow in this way someday. Now is your time. Today is your day. See, there is this urgency bound up in the scriptures that sometimes we lose sight of. Christ demands an urgent response. There's always this reminder message that we just forget on a practical level that you have no guarantee of more time. Whether it's Christ coming back and judgment day happens, or whether it's that car accident on the way home, you have no guarantee of time. Don't despise the patience of the Lord, we heard this morning. And it turns out Shamgar is right on board with that. There is this urgent need to respond to the Lord. And so, I mean, I have a heart for the person who says, yeah, I want the things of the Lord, but I can't get these things figured out. I have these questions I cannot figure out. Well, urgently seek your answers then. You'll have that person who says, I'm just struggling with unbelief. I can't put my faith in them, in God. You'll have someone saying, I've got these sins and I just can't break free. But I ask you, what time do you think you have? And if your only answer is this is going to get better if I give it a month, if I give it a year, if I give it 5 years, if that's your only answer, if when my circumstances are different, I'm going to be a faithful person of God. If that's your only answer, that's not an answer. It's not an answer. Today is the day to urgently seek the Lord, to urgently seek the answers you need, to urgently seek the faith you lack, to urgently put to death the sins that are plaguing you. Today is the day, and tomorrow it won't be easier. Tomorrow it might well be much harder. The continued way that Israel goes, just down and down, deteriorating as they do, it shows us that something was lacking in them. Israel didn't need more time. 80 years was plenty. Israel didn't need better circumstances. They had been freed from their oppressor. Israel needed to be right with the Lord. Israel needed a better deliverance than Ehud or any of these judges ever gave them. Why does Israel keep deteriorating? It's because they needed new hearts. If you put the same people on the same track, it's no surprise that you get the same results. Shamgar dispels the illusion that all we need is more time and different circumstances. Now, Shamgar, for that matter, also convicts the people of God. You have to ask yourself, who was Shamgar? Shamgar was a foreigner. You know why we know that? First, there's his name. That's not a Hebrew name, actually. It's thought it came from a language called Hurrian. Anyone speak Hurrian? It's a foreign name. It's not a Hebrew name, but the part that really drives it home is that little phrase, son of Anath. Son of Anath. So we hear Anath, and we read it in Old Testament times, and you just think, okay, mom or dad was named Anath. Okay, sounds good. Well, Anath, though, was actually the Canaanite goddess of war. So you see how that sort of changes it, right? Son of the Canaanite goddess of war. And actually, if you read this single story, Anath is the only divine name listed. The Lord's not listed. That's a little bit unsettling, isn't it? Son of Anath. Which means what we have in Shamgar is a foreigner who is either one of two things. One, perhaps just a devoted follower of this false god, Anath. Or two, there's been this interesting discovery of scholarship that there was actually sort of a mercenary group called the Sons of Anath. So in that case, what you have with Shamgar is he belongs to the mercenary group whose patron goddess is Anath. Either way, it's a little bit uncomfortable when you think about who this deliverer is. A foreign pagan. That's who God used to deliver his people. How about that? Why does a foreigner have to do all the work for the people of God? That's the question you ask. I mean, Israel's not like a small group. There's plenty of people there. Why do we need a foreigner brought in to deliver them? Now, one part of that answer must certainly be that they are a deteriorating people. And so while God has always preserved his remnant, what we get a hint of here is that as Israel deteriorates, there's also a lack of leaders in a deteriorating people like Israel. Israel's deteriorating spiritually, they're deteriorating morally. It's no surprise, actually, that a people as idolatrous and rebellious as Israel is not producing a whole crop of great leaders. Shamgar convicts a nation of millions when he has to show up and do their deliverance for them. And this same conviction, it happens today in the church, doesn't it? You know, when Christians are sitting around waiting for someone else to step up. You ever seen that? You ever done that? Right? So, have you ever found you're looking around and something's on your radar, and maybe you're looking at that person, you're thinking, someone really needs to share the gospel with that person. Or, you look over at some young person and it looks like they're just struggling. In whatever way we struggle as young people, right? And you're just saying, man, someone should come alongside him or her. You know, and disciple them. Take them under their wing. Someone should do it. It's that same question when we ask, when we look around and we're like, why isn't anyone filling that need over there? Someone should step up and serve and fill that important need that I'm always noticing. I mean, sometimes it's us looking around and saying someone should really step up and grow so they could be a biblical counselor, so that they're the person we can always send people to. Someone should step up and be the next deacon. Someone should step up and be the next pastor. Someone should step up and be the next missionary. Why not you? Why not you? Why someone else? Why not you? No, you don't understand. I'm not equipped like that. I'm not called like that. All I did is I noticed a need. It doesn't mean I'm the one who's supposed to fill it, right? I'm not that kind of person. I don't do that. So often we rule ourselves out. We rule ourselves out with these maybe entirely accurate descriptions and look at ourselves in that spiritual mirror and we say, I'm not equipped for that. I'm not good at that. I don't think I'm the right kind of person for that. Well, then how are you getting equipped? You say you're not ready for that conversation. How are you getting ready? You say you're not ready for that role. How are you getting ready for that role? Why not you? Why should it be someone else? See, if you have ever prayed for God's work, and I look at this room and I know you have, if you have ever prayed, God, would you help our church? If you've ever prayed, God, would you help that person? God, would you raise up leaders? God, would you raise up counselors? God, would you send forward missionaries? If you have ever prayed that prayer, you must be willing to be the answer to your own prayer. You must be ready for God to say, why not you? Why don't you go? Why don't you speak? Why don't you reach out? Why don't you step up? Don't look around for some sham guard to show up to do the things that the Lord is calling you to do. Shamgar convicts God's people. But that's not all he does, thankfully. Shamgar also reminds us of God's grace. Because Shamgar is just like one more unexpected deliverance by God. One more time. God delivers his people using a foreign pagan. I mean, couldn't you imagine? If you were God looking at this nation, looking at what a wreck they were, couldn't you imagine just being worn out by him and saying, fine, and walking away? And let's even say that this is completely what happened, that there was such a lack of leadership that they needed a Shamgar. Couldn't you imagine looking at these people and just being like, really, there's no one? There's millions of you. None of you are ready to step up? Couldn't you imagine that just being the straw that breaks the camel's back and just saying, fine, fine. But God didn't walk away. God looked at this idolatrous, deteriorating nation, and he raised up for them a deliverer one more time. God delivers his people no matter who he has to use. See, when you come to this story, there's a detail that's hard to miss, but maybe hard also for us to really visualize because it's not our day. God delivered his people with Shamgar using an ox goad. Okay, so here's the picture. You've got like 600 Philistines, and maybe what they're doing is they're kind of scouting. It's not clear. It's not explained to us. The Philistines are going to be a much bigger problem later. But here's their introduction into the book, and maybe they're scouting into the land. Now, you've got Shamgar, who's actually not a Hebrew, so he's not real concerned, actually, about Israel. But for whatever reason, it's Shamgar versus 600 Philistines, right? I would watch that movie, right? Shamgar versus 600 Philistines. But this guy, whether he's an amateur and he's using farming instruments or whether he's just an awesome warrior and all he needs is an ox goad, rises up and sweeps the floor with him. So an ox goad, it's like this long stick, maybe up to 8 feet long, and it's got an iron tip on the end. And the point is you're just poking the ox, right? Reminding him who's boss, right? Telling him what to do. And so it's not a really like exactly meant for fighting. But I don't know, Shamgar comes along and he gets an 8-foot stick in his hand with an iron tip and he routs 600 Philistines. That is not supposed to happen. But God raises up a deliverer. But God empowers a deliverer. And God then delivers his people from an enemy army using just one man and an ox goad. Praise the God who can do that kind of thing. Praise the God who delivers like that. You're going to see this as a theme throughout Judges, by the way. It's like they're always using unusual weapons. So, a homemade knife that you assassinate the king with first, right? But then you've got an ox goad. But then you've got a hammer and a nail. But then you've got horns and torches. Then you've got a woman's millstone. Then you've got a jawbone. You can read this book and by the end get to thinking, does anyone use just like a sword? There are all these incredible deliverances using these completely unlikely weapons. Why? It's just God reminding his people that he can deliver them however he wants. He doesn't need the best weapons. He doesn't need the best people. He doesn't need the best armors. God can deliver using anyone, anytime, using any weapon he wants. That is the kind of God who was on display in a book that just loves unusual weapons. And Shamgar then, get your mind around this. He is, in fact, getting us ready for the gospel. Or to say it more clearly, God is using Shamgar to get us ready for the gospel. That glorious day when the ultimate foreigner would come to deliver God's people because no one on earth was an adequate savior. How great a foreigner was he, not the son of Anath, but the son of God. He was so foreign that he had to come from heaven down to a world that was utterly deteriorating. And Christ came for a people, not just with a lack of righteousness or a lack of leadership, but an utter emptiness, a complete lack, a complete destitution, a complete poverty. He looks at this people and all of them deserve judgment and all of them are rebels and all of them are enemies, and he comes and he rescues them. All of them are falling apart and he comes for them. And none of them were stepping up for their own salvation. And he came for them. And he came and he provided that better salvation that no man had ever been able to provide. Men had provided time. Men had provided circumstances. But none of them were ever able to change the hearts of the people they were rescuing. So it was no wonder that the same people with the same heart ended up with the same result. So Christ came and he provided a better deliverance. Christ came and he gave them a better heart, a new heart. And see, that is the place that the Christian can rejoice. Rejoice in your better salvation. Rejoice that you are not part of the judge's generation swirling down the toilet drain. You have a better salvation because you have a better Savior, which means you've got a better life to live, which means that you are not enslaved anymore, but sin's power over you is broken. And so now you can fight. You can fight and you can win because he has set you free. Your options are completely transformed. We are no longer the deteriorating people of God, but we are the people that he is growing and he is renewing and he is transforming into the image of his beloved Son. Because of our great deliverer, Christian, you have been set free to serve. No more waiting around for someone else to step up for the things that the Lord is calling you to. You don't need to wait on anyone else because he has powerfully equipped you. This better salvation now comes with God's Holy Spirit indwelling in us, empowering us. And now for all the ways you look at God's call and you think, I'm too weak. Well, God by his Holy Spirit can grow you. And for all the ways you look around at the challenges of the world and you say, I am not equipped for these challenges. Well, do you think God the Holy Spirit is sufficient to equip you? For all these ways that you're going to go into these situations and you're going to realize, I don't know what I'm doing. And you're going to think, I need help. Good news. You have a better helper. God, by his Holy Spirit, will help you. So it's going to be no surprise that you will get into some situation where you think, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to say here. I don't know where to go from here. That's okay. That's totally to be expected. But you have God himself who promises to be with you, helping you, equipping you, strengthening you. You see, this world is not so different from the judge's generation, deteriorating. It's no surprise that fallen people with fallen hearts are ending up with fallen results. And so as you look around at this world, and perhaps you're not even thinking about the world, you're just thinking about your life, we have again pressed upon us that exhortation of the scriptures that says the need is urgent. The gospel is urgent. And so, whether you are a Christian or not, today is the day to respond to that need. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for being a God who delivers people like us. And we thank you for our great deliverer sent to a people because they couldn't deliver themselves. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, your very presence in and with us. And Father, we confess that all the time we are standing around waiting for someone else to rise up. We're doing it at home. We're doing it at work. We're doing it in the church. We're doing it in this world. Father, forgive us for being a people who's waiting around when you have called us. We pray that you would embolden us. We pray that you would give us the faith to hear your call and to answer it. We pray that when we put our hands to the plow, that you would strengthen us. Lord, we're weak and you know it. But we believe in you. We know you are the God who equips and the God who strengthens and the God who helps. So would you help us today and every day here on out? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.